restoring vitality to you, the planet, and the cellular terrain of your body. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this fine day?
My day is fine, thank you very much. I got up early, enjoyed a quiet 2 hours to myself. I'm feeling refreshed, restored, and ready to take on the world.
Awesome. I was reading the paper today, and in the Natural News, they had an article on raw food diets, and they claimed that it's a healthy and nutritious, natural way of eating. What could be more nutritious and natural than eating food that in its uncooked state, right? And
yep.
But finally, followers of raw food diets have some support in the health benefits from some mainstream studies.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So typically, followers of a raw food diet, the average raw food fanatic consumes about 75% of their food as uncooked, unprocessed, plant-based.
Yeah.
It's included but not limited to fruits, vegetables, fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds. Nothing heated above 115 degrees Fahrenheit in order to preserve the integrity of the enzymes associated with digestion and absorption. So dehydration of food is permissible, but only if the process is kept below 115 degrees. So there was a study done in the Journal of Nutrition where they followed a raw food diet long-term. Following a long-term raw food diet helps lower the risk of cardiovascular disease, lowers the level of total cholesterol and triglycerides. And then there was another study conducted by Dr. Luigi.
Yep.
Luigi, that name always, I don't know.
Luigi and Guido,
Luigi and Guido, yeah. Fontana and his team found that followers of a raw food diet had lower body mass index, BMI, high vitamin D levels, and I was just reading the other day about how we are so deficient in vitamin D,
yes.
Low levels of C-reactive protein, and I'll ask you what that is, I have no idea, and lower levels of IGF-1. So
yeah.
Vitamin D is important because it's closely related to bone strength. Oh, a C-reactive protein is an inflammatory molecule,
yes,
that is linked with the risk of heart disease, diabetes, other chronic diseases.
Yep.
And the
IGF-1.
It's a growth factor linked to the risk of breast and prostate cancer. So
right.
That all sounds very good. And so this diet study followed these people over a period of 2 years, and they showed some interesting results in women especially. They showed a marked improvement in men's menstrual cycles as well as a drop in overall stress levels. Oh, that's interesting. And a decrease in the amount of sleep needed to feel well rested.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So less stress, better sleep. Wow. And so basically they're concluding that from mainstream scientific studies that raw food diet can lower the risk of cardiovascular disease, breast cancer, prostate cancer, diabetes, other chronic diseases while aiding and maintaining a healthy weight, cholesterol levels at a healthy level, triglyceride levels at a healthy level, and strong, healthy bones. And it's interesting because before you and I went on the air, we were looking at a site of a friend of yours, and he had pictures before and after of all these people that went on raw food diets. And some people were losing like 100 pounds.
Sure. Yeah, of course. You know, remember, we just finished talking on our podcast about weight and weight management, and I'm sure we'll come back to it. And the fatness in a body is largely caused by toxins, which are largely caused by retention of acid byproducts of cooked proteins. When you coagulate proteins, you know, in meats, steaks by barbecuing, or in case of wheat, you know, you take the gluten and you bake it, and that's how you destroy the protein in wheat. Or in case of milk, by pasteurizing it. Or, you know, eggs are usually eaten cooked. All of that, right?
Right, right. Huh. It was really funny because on this website that we were on, they would be a picture of a person when they were obese, no other way to put it. And
before.
It would be like Joe cooked, and then there'd be a picture of him thin. It'd be Joe raw. It was
a massive difference, right?
Massive difference. It was just amazing to see. So I think we should talk a little bit about lifestyle, and because to go from our typical North American diet or typical European diet, even our typical probably Chinese diet, to a raw foods-centric type of diet, it really is a major lifestyle change.
I agree. It's in fact, my friend who's a 30-year veteran of living foods and raw foods, and she has counseled people by the hundreds, she says that she believes that the addiction to cooked food is the hardest addiction to break. Mm. She says it's worse than heroin.
Yeah. I can believe it, because I know at 8 o'clock at night, oftentimes I'm opening the cupboards looking for something, you know, taco chips or chocolate or something to eat, right? And and I never look in the fridge for a carrot.
And she actually told me the exact method by which this can be broken.
Oh.
She tells me that it takes about 3 weeks. You know, you actually need to make a commitment. You need to go about 3 weeks on the living foods, healthy foods diet. You need to just make that commitment. After that, it becomes easy.
Mm. So,
we were talking about the cellular terrain, right? How either a tolerance for certain food is developed. And I think it has a corollary, which is the how craving for certain foods is lost as well. I guess to translate it into normal human speak, I would put it this way. You were telling me that when you first started, when I first introduced you to the Exula product line, you were quite happy with the Exula 50.
That's right.
Which is the simplest. That's the one that we do recommend to people who are just finding out about raw foods or superfoods and smoothies and that sort of thing.
Well, I remember at that time you said to me, because we were talking about the different levels, and you recommend the Exula 50, and you said, I don't think you should take this higher level one because it would it might be too much of a shock to my system, sort of. You didn't use those words, but that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
And you were right.
Probably didn't appreciate those comments because it sort of makes you feel like I'm some sort of a wimp. I can't take the high-strength stuff.
Right, right.
But it's not that. It doesn't taste good, right?
That's exactly what happened, because after a couple months on the Exula 50, I said, no, I want to try this Iridesa. And I took it, and it was just like, oh. It was
bitter, awful.
It was repulsive, and I don't mean it as a negative taste.
Yeah, it just didn't taste
right. It was like I'm positive charged and it was negative charged, and we just weren't coming together. And 6-8 months later, I went on it again, and I just love it. I just no problem, right? So
yeah, because now your energetics have risen to the level where you can take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's just great.
And so I guess this is what happens with people who make the transition. They try to go cold turkey. They just try and jump into it.
It reminds me of the story of, I don't know why they wanted to boil a frog, but they did. And they had this water boiling, and they threw the frog in. The frog jumped out because it was hot, right? So
yep.
They put the frog into cool water, and they gently raised the temperature, and the frog was, oh, this is cool. Next thing you know, it's boiling and they've cooked the frog. And and I think you're right. I think oftentimes it's like there's this boiling vat of water. Let's just jump in, and our body just gets this massive shock, and we jump out as fast as we can and say, I ain't doing that no more. And whereas if we take small incremental steps towards it, then it's surprising how fast 6 months goes by and how good we are at making those changes in our lives.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, it's a change in direction. I'm thinking, you know, even just driving on the freeway, all you have to do is just pull on the steering wheel just a wee bit, right? 1 degree.
Yeah.
And
Pretty soon you're in the ditch.
Pretty soon you're somewhere else, different lane.
That's right.
You might be fully turned around, heading south instead of north.
That's right, yeah. It wouldn't be unusual for me.
Okay.
So let's talk about, this raw food diet. And I think, first of all, how could someone just make those sort of changes on a gradual basis? And then I think we need to talk about someone who says, you know what, I understand I need more raw foods, everything else, but, you know, I'm not going to give up my, you know, my barbecued steak. I'm not going to give up, you know, cooked chicken and all, you know, maybe I could do a little bit less fried or, you know, that sort of stuff. But right now it's not possible either because of, the traveling that they do or their family situations or whatever. So there's kind of two people there that I want to kind of cover if we can.
Yeah, in this world we call it transitional.
Transitional, you know, yeah.
Sort of halfway between the standard American diet and raw. Or actually, there is another level beyond raw, which is called living foods. And one of these days we'll get to talk about that. But for now, transitional between cooked and raw is you need to have at least 2/3 of your food eaten that's uncooked. So that must mean salads, fruit, stir fry, you know, minimally cooked stir fry is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't really wreck the vegetables too much. Smoothies work really, really well.
Okay, so give me an example. You've mentioned smoothies before, so give me an example of a smoothie. Because to me, a smoothie is some milk, a couple scoops of ice cream, and Kool-Aid or something, you know. So and I just don't think that's what you're talking about.
You slay me. Okay. Well, there's a wonderful woman out there promoting green smoothies. Her name is Victoria Butenko. I don't know, maybe one of our listeners have heard of her before. And Victoria promotes a fruit smoothie. She starts with a banana and pear, or banana and apple, or banana and mango, and then makes about half of that smoothie green, something green, which is like kale or Swiss chard or dandelion tops or stinging nettle or anything you want that's green. Now, by green we mean, you know, there should be another class of food. Like, we have vegetables, and we don't separate greens from it. But, you know, vegetables to us are things like carrots, parsnips, broccoli, cauliflower, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are starchy things, and they do not mix well with fruit at all. Like, it's a wrong idea to try and have a broccoli-apple smoothie. It just doesn't work. But what would work is green tops. You know, like, for instance, you can do carrot tops. I mean, your grocer will love you, right?
Carrot tops.
Yeah, the green stuff.
Okay. You can, you know, put that in?
Yeah, you can put that in. You can drink it with the banana.
Okay.
Amazing stuff. Totally amazing.
Okay, so why would I want to eat carrot tops?
Because they're rich in chlorophyll. They're rich in nutrients. They're rich in, minerals and everything else.
Okay. How do they taste?
Well, they taste like the bananas because you put them into the banana apple smoothie.
Oh.
The greens don't have much of a taste. They just hide inside of the fruit smoothie.
You're very sneaky, Martin.
Well, this was Victoria's invention. It's pretty clever.
That is really clever.
Now, here's the thing, though. To do this right, you need to have a high-power blender. You cannot do that in a $20, kitchen-grade thing that you bought at your Walmart.
Garage sale.
Well, you know, there are blenders that are sold between $20 and $50 that are good enough to make these chocolate milkshake smoothies.
Right.
But they are not. They're not capable of dealing with these high-end smoothies like what we're talking about. Like, you wouldn't like it because they do not break the cell walls of the greens. So you would end up with stuff that still got these green bits in it.
Yeah.
And Indeed, that wouldn't taste all that good to you. You would feel sort of like a cow.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. So a real good high-end blender, like your Vitamix blender.
Yeah, we need to get a Vitamix or a Blendstack or a Waring. Those are the three that we have available. I don't think there's another one out there that stands up to it. Okay. And you see them in commercial establishments, you know, like Starbucks is fully furnished by Blendstacks.
Okay.
You know, those are the square plastic jugs or containers that you see there. Mm-hmm. And you see these things in most juice bars. These are the commercial blenders.
And yeah, for good reason.
Yes, they stand up to the job, number one. But, you know, there's an important function, which is that they are capable of breaking the cell walls, not just chopping it up, but actually exploding the cells themselves.
Oh, okay.
And what that does, it exposes the inside, the content of the cells, to your digestive system. And, you know, digestion in your gut happens only at the surface level, meaning that your digestive system only interacts with the top layer of the molecules on any particle that's inside of your digestive system.
Mm, so if it's not very thin and small...
So it's the chewing, right? The finer it's chewed, the greater the ability of your digestive system to extract nutrients. So, of course, the blender is an extension of your teeth. It just does a marvelous job of it.
Right, right.
And okay. So that's the big secret of the smoothie. It allows you to extract a lot of nutrients. In fact, this is the secret also of the Exela superfoods. You know, they are a teaspoon of an Exela 50 goes farther than a tablespoon of some store-bought stuff, mainly because of the size of the particle.
Right. That makes a huge difference.
Yes, it does. It really does, because you know, you think you might be paying a lot for a bottle of the Exela product, but it goes so much farther than the stuff that you, you know, you think you're paying twice the money, or you can buy this competing product for half the price, but you get four times as much out of the Exela.
Yeah, we're really getting into the value of it.
Yeah, so now who has got good value, right?
Exactly.
So anyway, I'm getting somewhat into so many sidebars here, right?
Well, there's certainly a lot to it. It's a lot more complicated and interesting than I actually thought it was when we started.
Okay, so we're going over the territory. Raw food, okay? Two-thirds of your daily intake uncooked. So that must mean that you will probably start with some fruit, you know, like melons, and then graduate to apples and pears, graduate to bananas maybe. And then at lunch you'll probably have a salad with something. And then you'll snack on some carrot sticks and celery sticks and whatever. And then you graduate to a dinner, which is, again, going to be either a stir fry or a huge pile of vegetables with whatever you like.
Mm.
That's how you'll manage two-thirds of your intake in raw. In fact, I tell people you can eat any, and by that I mean any quantity of raw food. The only thing about your meal is that the cooked food in a meal should not exceed the size of your hand. So if it's, you know, if it's a steak, it shouldn't be any bigger or heavier than your hand. And if it's something like rice, you know, if you make a fist, you know, that's about the clump of rice that you should be able to eat and not overeat.
Right.
So that's the raw foodist. So you were telling me about your friend who has recently had this, what is it called, the aha moment or the conversion, or what do we call it?
Well,
an epiphany?
Epiphany, yeah. Well, he grew up putting protein shakes in his body and eating protein bars and steak and all that sort of stuff.
A bodybuilder, right?
A bodybuilder, yeah, high-end athlete. And last summer he was water skiing, fell. I think we talked about him. And,
yes.
He was going like 4 miles an hour, fell into a lake and broke the major bone in his leg, the femur. And, I suspect that, his muscles were so strong and so developed, they were constantly putting stress on his bone. And, of course, his bone was getting the calcium leached out of it because of his how acidic he was.
Yes.
And it just couldn't handle that stress anymore and just snapped. And it was, we were talking major snap. It was practically, 45-degree angle. Or more out of his leg, right?
Yeah, that's
like the bone was
really awful trauma. Hey?
Oh, it was just a terrible experience for him. And then he started dating this gal who was a total raw food, right? And he was like,
yeah.
"No way, I'm not going total raw food." And so she started making stuff, and he couldn't tell that it wasn't cooked. cakes
fruit cake based on nuts and seeds and whatnot.
Yeah, that's right. So he was like, "Oh, this is good." So they broke up recently, it's unfortunate. But she had left enough of an impression on him that he was starting to learn about enzymes and raw foods and all that sort of stuff, and he's like right into it now. And doing really well. I mean, his body
getting his health back, right?
Getting his health back, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's not impossible to... I think it's something that you need to learn, right? Like, how do you prepare the food so that it's interesting and it's not... Because to raw food, to me, it's like, some lettuce and a beet and, a broccoli and a green pepper, and it just isn't appetizing. But the stuff that she made was absolutely delicious. So mm-hmm. It's a matter of learning those skills, I think.
Yeah, well, there's a whole world out there that that lives raw. I mean, it's a movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifestyle.
Well,
it's,
and you think of how much energy goes into raising a cow versus how much goes into, making broccoli.
Well, that much we know. It takes 16 times as much water to grow a pound of beef as it takes to grow a pound of grain.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. As the planet's resources are going to start getting strained because there are just so many of us on it. Well, I don't know. I think we may have to switch to vegetarianism anyway, just for energetic reasons.
Yeah. That's right. So, Martin, we've talked a bit about somebody that wants to just, I'm two-thirds, 75% eating raw foods. Okay, I got the recipe book. I'm into it. But what about the person who, says, okay, I understand I need to get more raw stuff into my diet, but, I can't change my lifestyle dramatically.
Yeah, like a traveling person, on the airports and bus stations and who knows what else, right? Like over the place.
You don't really have access to a
high speed blender,
an organic grocery store either.
Yeah. Well, I've actually tried this because, of course, we travel too, and I've gone to McDonald's and Wendy's and whatnot. And you know what? You can put together a decent meal at Wendy's.
Okay.
There are salads at Wendy's and a baked potato. That'll do it. Or if you like meat, just take the patty, throw away the bun, and have it with the salad.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you're feeling adventurous, you can eat that patty raw. Just ask them to hand it to you before they cook it.
No, I can't. I'm with you on, no.
Have you ever tried steak tartare?
No, I haven't, but I know people that have.
I have, a number of times.
Yeah, I've had tuna.
Okay.
Which actually wasn't bad, but it just, it's a, I don't know, brainwashing thing or cultural thing or whatever. I just can't.
Well, how about sushi? Haven't you had any sashimi straight?
Not really, no. When I go for sushi, I get the California roll.
Okay. Well, but, that's fine.
Yeah, and I know people that like all that raw, you know, fish and stuff, and I just like, oh, I just...
Not you. Okay, well, what
not
can
me.
I say? But anyway, the you don't need to eat meat anyway.
Yeah, I'm quite happy to eat vegetables and fruit raw.
So the message is this. In raw food, there are all these enzymes. And the enzymes are that which makes the difference between cooked and raw. Cooked, the enzymes are coagulated, they have been inactivated, they have been killed. So the only option you have if you're going to eat cooked food is to supplement with digestive enzymes. If you don't supplement, you're bound to run into a deficit.
Right.
Travel with a bottle of digestive enzymes. That's the next best choice right after eating raw.
Right. And if somebody is okay, like I'm at home, I'm living at home, and you know I'll make some small changes. So you know maybe I'll stir fry and I won't cook it as much as I did normally, or maybe I'll have more salads or that sort of stuff. But I know that I'm probably not getting as much as I still should be getting, or as much as my body needs.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of things could we take in that case?
Enzymes, digestive enzymes, and I guess superfoods. You know, you're a witness to it yourself. A teaspoon or two of these high nutrient density foods, like chlorella, spirulina, alfalfa juice, things like that, they make a huge difference.
They do, absolutely.
Yeah. So
you start off with something like the Exula or the Stratiflora?
Yeah, I would say so. Well, the Stratiflora is great at rebuilding people from the ground up. You start from the colon. You set the set the intestinal flora into the right direction. You know, you start growing the, you know, like everybody has 3 or so pounds of stuff, of creatures in their gut.
Hmm.
These are bacteria and protozoa. And it's the flora and fauna of creatures that are living inside of us. And, you know, the weight of it is, if it's about the weight of your arm from the elbow down.
Oh, wow.
That's about the
weight. I was just looking at my arm from my elbow down. That's a lot of...
Right, so that's how much of creatures lives inside of you. And the big question is the balance. You know, are these the good creatures or the bad creatures?
Right.
The bad creatures make poisons. The good creatures make or help you extract healthy things, you know, like vitamin K or vitamin B12 or vitamin D. Those are all naturally assembled in your body by the creatures.
Right. Wow.
So if you don't have a healthy balance, you're in trouble. And people with irritated bowel or Crohn's disease or those type of intestinal problems, they're the ones that most likely have a damaged ecology in the body, in the gut. And so you know how this comes about is very easy. All you have to do is take a dose of antibiotics and you kill off the good guys.
Right. So the way to get that back is to start putting good bacteria back into your body.
Right. You need to repopulate it. You need to seed it back in. It's sort of like, think of it like your lawn, you know. If you have a decent culture in it, a dry spell will kill off the top, but as soon as you start watering it, it'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you die it off too far, or if you wear it off, you know, by too much traffic, what comes back is not a nice turf. What comes back is thistles and dandelions and all the resilient stuff that you really didn't care for.
Right. We wanted to get rid of it, probably.
Would love to, yeah. So repopulating it, right? Strataflora is the product that we recommend because it's all these different aspects of the digestive system looked after. I mean, probiotic, you know, you can see advertising for probiotics all over the television now. The dairy companies, the yogurt makers have latched onto it with
big time.
incredible vigor. And they're pushing, you know, my Activia yogurt has two strains or one strain of probiotics in it.
You know. Right.
Well, heck, we put 49 strains of probiotics into the Strataflora, and that's just one-tenth of what we put in it.
Right.
Because, you know, the best analogy I can come up with is if you're trying to stage a symphony, you know, visualize that you want to have on stage a Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Okay.
Not just the orchestra. You're going to have a choir, and you're going to have the soloists. You're going to have the guy singing the bass and the gal singing the alto and the soprano. And you're going to have the violins and the woodwinds and so on. And they all going to have to be good enough to play this music. They can't be just some people off the street that you drive in and say, grab this instrument, we're going to do Beethoven's Ninth.
That's right. They've got to be able to do the job.
Right. So they need to be strong enough technically or whatever to do it, and it needs to all come together. So when I give you a simple probiotic, like, you know, this one, I don't know, Lactobacillus bifidus, which is one of the about 200 different cultures that your gut normally contains, it's sort of like bringing the bass guitar and saying, okay, play rock.
Yeah, right.
So that's what the marketers are getting away with, is that they are pushing the keywords or the buzzwords, but they're not really delivering. Even though it's, you know, it's massively better than what you'd get otherwise. I mean, it's wonderful that they are actually adding these probiotics to the yogurts, because it's better than
nothing.
Whatever. Well, much better than what we used to have. You know, like, it's still pasteurized milk, but at least they inject it with the decent culture.
Right, right. Well, I know on the website there was a testimonial for Strataflora, and I thought it was quite interesting. Uh-huh. And it says, my wife has been constipated for 20 years or more due to a very heavy medication load she must take. Doctors have never offered any relief. She started the Strataflora nearly 6 months ago and has been taking about a teaspoon a day. Within a few days, her problem was and is still solved. 100%, 110% satisfaction. Thank you. Thank you, Martin. So it makes a huge, huge difference to your digestive tract. And I guess that's one indication, too, of whether your flora is doing a good job or not, right? Is if you've got rocks coming out, like, you need some help.
Yes. Yeah, if that is the situation, then yes, you need help. And I remember the phone call not long ago. I don't know if I have quoted this or not. This woman calls up and she says, hi, is this Martin? Yes. I'm calling to tell you I love you.
Oh, that must have made your day.
Oh, and I'm saying, okay, who are you? What's your name? And she says, I'm one of your customers. And I'm calling to let you know, I've had a 20-year struggle with constipation, and I'm having satisfactory bowel movements. You have no idea how good that feels. And I said, so how much are you taking? She says, 5 teaspoons a day. And I said, that's fairly spendy. And she says, you have no idea how I don't care about that.
Yeah, because when things work good and you're healthy, boy, it's worth every penny.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, Martin, it's been an interesting almost 35 minutes of discussion on raw foods and that sort of stuff, and I think it's just been absolutely amazing. And I think the power of eating raw and also supplementing with something like Strataflora, which helps to regenerate that. I mean, it's kind of like we've clear-cut the mountain, folks, and we need to replant some really good trees, right?
Yes.
And we have definitely clear-cut our bowel system, our digestive system, and our stomach, and we need to replant. And I think the Stratiflora is an amazing product for doing that.
It's a fantastic analogy you came up with.
Thank you.
You must have been to some clear-cut forest mayhem not long ago.
No, it's been a while, but... I still remember, and I actually was up near Banff, Alberta last summer, and we have a problem with the pine beetle, which kills trees, and I was totally amazed to see basically a mountain range with rusty covered leaves on like pine trees,
needles
on these trees, and I thought, we're going to have a massive fire because all this dead wood is just sitting there. And once it gets hot enough, look out. And it was,
yep.
I mean, it was it just went for miles and miles. I was just horrified. And
yes.
It's really sad. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what the plan is.
That's another story.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we're going to have to tell people that, yes, you can get your gut back in order.
Yes.
And, yes, you definitely need to eat enzymes, especially if you're eating cooked foods, and you should figure out how to eat more raw, because I bet you're not eating enough.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that you can find on www.life-enthusiast.com. Then you can call for your consultation at 1-866-543-3388. And then you can Journal Life Enthusiast Co-op, because we're restoring vitality to you and to the planet.
That's right. Bye-bye, everybody.